When you're working to defeat hunger in society, it makes sense to lay out policies in government that encourage donations to food banks. But just as Oregon was emerging from the Great Recession, a tax credit meant to encourage the donation of fresh food from farms to food banks expired. It was called the Crop Donation Tax Credit. And the name is pretty clear. Donate crops to a food bank, get a tax credit. The expiration was noticed not just by the farmers, but by the food banks as well, and efforts to restore that tax credit continue. Beverly Hughes is the executive director at Food for Lane County and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Beverly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Can you give us the basic idea behind the crop donation tax credit and how long it had been on the books in Oregon?
You know, I don't really know how long it was on the books, but I know it sunsetted in 2011, and it hadn't been utilized all that well, which is probably why they let it go.
When you say not utilized all that well, what was the situation?
Well, it used to be a 10% tax credit, and there was paperwork involved, and a lot of farmers just decided either they would or they wouldn't donate their crops, but it wasn't really maybe worthwhile of their time to figure out what the tax credit was to give it to their accountant to do their taxes, or they just decided, I'm either just going to donate or I'm not, but they just didn't know about it or they didn't think it was worth their time, but it wasn't really widely utilized.
All right, so it didn't have a lot of friends when it sunsetted in 2011.
No. The food banks, but not necessarily the farmers.
All right. So who were the major beneficiaries? It sounds like the farmers weren't getting much out of this, but can you characterize what you were seeing at Food for Lane County and what you heard from other food banks?
Well, you know, the whole country is experiencing the same thing. The demand for our food right now, the demand of hunger or food insecurity in our country is at a high, and it's sustained high now. And so we're having a hard time finding enough food to sort of solve our problem. There have been many, many months for the past 6 months. We have more food leaving our warehouse than we have donations coming in, and we're not unusual. So trying to find and increase our food supply is what we're all focused on in this country, and we're trying to find healthy food. So when we took a look at this tax credit and thought if we could do a better job of explaining it, and doing some community outreach to local farmers to explain it, then maybe if we can get it back on the books, we could help farmers utilize the tax credit.
So when we say it sunsets, I mean, you and I know what that means. A law just ceases to exist after a certain time period. So it was not actually killed. It was just simply allowed to expire?
Exactly. When it was created, it had a sunset date. And when it came, there probably wasn't a lot of commotion about it because it wasn't really utilized. So it just sunsetted.
Any idea, just in numbers, I mean, how many pounds of food or whatever the measures might be that are not coming in now because of the expiration of the crop donation tax credit?
I do not know the answer. What I do know is that other states have the tax credit, and they all have a different amount to incentivize the behavior they're looking for. Arizona has it, California has it, and so it does incentivize farmers to try to get that crop out of their field. It doesn't in any way compensate them for all of their work, but it is a sweetener, a little incentive to try to get that crop out of the ground. And so we're well aware of many, many farmers in our county that when they get to the end of the day and it's time to harvest their crops, they don't have a buyer for it. They have a very slim margin of where they make profit, and that crop could just sit in their field until they till it back under and then have more nutrients in the ground for next year. So we're trying to get those crops out of that field.
All right, so they're not plowed under and turned into basically fertilizer.
Absolutely.
For next season.
Absolutely.
Give us a sketch for the folks who aren't familiar with Lane County, because we do serve such a wider area, about Food for Lane County, what you do, and how many other agencies there are that are trying to feed the hungry in Lane County.
For the state, there are 20 food banks in the state, and we all have our own geographic scope. So Food for Lane County handles Lane County and a little bit of Linn County. And so we are feeding, we're a county of about 350,000 people. We have a very high rate of food insecurity in our county. In Lane County, 1 in 3 people is eligible for our services. So once you get outside of the Eugene-Springfield area and you're in a very rural area, we have very high unemployment and underemployment. So we've seen hunger and food insecurity move from not just being an emergency situation where someone needs help 3 or 4 times a year, but a chronic situation where they might need help every single week or every single month. So we've been spinning off many, many programs trying to get local produce and bread and milk out into the community in many, many locations on a weekly basis to help people with just having enough food in their household to get them through the entire month.
There are some interesting balances here. I mean, obviously, you talk about one in three people in Lane County being eligible for your services, but on the other hand, you also have a place that is a pretty good place to grow food.
Absolutely. And we have good relationships with our local farmers, but it just has to make economic sense for the farmers. Many of them have their hearts in the right place, and they do make donations to the food banks. All over the state, that's true. But you get to a place where you have to either reach into your own pocket and pay the labor to get the crop out of the field, or have some kind of incentive to at least appreciate the effort you have to go through to get that crop on the table of very many hungry people in Oregon.
Beverly, in the lack of a donation tax credit, crop donation tax credit in Oregon, have there been other programs put into effect? Have you done some gleaning, for example, send people out to the fields, and so the farmer is basically not paying for labor costs to remove the food that is still edible?
We have in Lane County. We used to have a gleaning program years ago, and we discontinued it. They are hard to supervise and manage because everybody's a volunteer. There are other food banks in the state that have stellar gleaning programs. But we tried it a couple times this summer where farmers called us and said, I have a crop. I can't get it out. But if you want to send people out here to get it, you can get it yourself. And that worked really well for us. We went out and harvested about 25,000 pounds of apples. King Estate called us and invited us into their orchard. And we also had a seed farmer call us and say, I want the seeds. I don't actually need the crop, but I need help with it. And so we were able to get all the seeds out of their squash and then keep the squash for the food bank. So there's lots of examples where there are willing farmers who just need a helping hand to get that crop into a food bank.
Beverly Hughes, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the executive director at Food for Lane County, and we're talking somewhat specifically about the Oregon Crop Donation Tax Credit, which expired in 2011. There are efforts to revive that now, but we can also talk more generally with you, the listener, about hunger and ways to address it in our region. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. There have been several legislative sessions, Beverly, since the crop donation tax credit expired in 2011. Any efforts in those previous sessions to bring that tax credit back?
Yes, we tried this last year also, and we were actually pretty successful. It just didn't make it out at the very end. There was too much pressure on the budget and a lot of other deserving projects on hand also. So the tax credit didn't make it last year. But we were very encouraged at the end of the legislative session, so that's why we brought it back this year. And we're also encouraged this year. We were waiting for the revenue forecast to come out on Wednesday, and when it did, it was not great news. It's a flat budget, and so there's going to need to be some deficit, some cutting taking place. And so since there is no surplus, it again is teetering on the edge here of whether it's one of the programs they decide to reinstate for us.
Because there is a dollar cost to it because of the tax credits?
Exactly.
And what approximately was it? Does anybody have good figures on what it was to the last biennium it was in effect, which would have been, 2009-11, I guess?
I'm guessing it was around $350,000 based on the usage it was getting then. And so we're using numbers now. That's the number we're talking to the legislature about right this minute is $350,000. And then that would be great if that happens. But our goal would be over the next 5 years is to really do a better job of communicating this so more and more farmers take advantage of it. But right now, for starters, we thought it'd be around $350,000.
Which puts you in an interesting situation because $350,000 does sound like a drop in the bucket compared to a state budget that runs into several billions of dollars over the course of a biennium. But the point you're trying to make is you want the program to be more successful than it was before, therefore will end up costing the state a little more in tax revenue than it did in the past.
That's true, and then we have been told the $350,000 is really a small amount and based on the bigger budget. But there are many programs competing for these dollars, and so we're not the only one standing in line right now asking for a small amount. So it just, at the end of the day, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I am personally optimistic. I'll put it that way.
All right. When I realized that I was going to ask a question about whether there are just some legislators who'd rather not handle this, obviously the expression that comes to mind is political hot potato. So we're not trying to make a pun out of a food program. But, I mean, is it controversial or just not a high priority item? Which does it tend to be?
It's not controversial at all. It was unanimously passed out of the committee. No one wants anyone to be hungry in Oregon. No one is against this. It just has to make economic sense.
So where does it stand in this legislature? So you say it was passed out of committee in this legislature?
Yes. We've already gone through. We've already had our hearing, our testimonies last week. I believe it's getting ready to go into a work committee. And so we're hearing favorable from both sides. Everybody's in agreement that this makes sense. It just has to make sense in the bigger picture with all the competing other projects out there.
All right, here again, a crop donation tax credit. A farmer donates some of the crop, gets a tax credit. Are there differences between what you're proposing with the legislature now and the way the program worked before? Because one of the things you pointed out was it seemed somewhat cumbersome in paperwork, or could be anyway.
It's very, very similar. The only thing we've asked is for an increase in the incentive. It used to be 10%, and now it's 15%. But besides that, it's identical.
All right. And how does that work? When you say 15% incentive, how does that mechanism work? Is it 15% of the value of the crops donated?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
All right. So if you... So
another piece of it, farmers are not asked to overplant. And so you can't plant all you want, and at the end of the day, have a lot of crop left, and then want to donate that. What it really is farmers who decide they have a buyer for their crop, they put the crop in the ground, and at the end of the year, at the harvest season, for whatever reason, there is still a surplus. That's the food that we're talking about, because this is not meant to just ask people to overplant.
Well, I mean, but you want them to plant a little more, don't you?
We do, and they probably need to just to satisfy their orders, but that's how the legislation is written. It's for crops that were originally planted with a buyer in mind, and at the end of the day when it's still left, that's the crop that we're talking about.
Again, Beverly Hughes, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director at Food for Lane County. We're talking about efforts in this legislative session going on right now in Salem to revive the Oregon crop donation tax credit that expired in 2011. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange and push the discussion forward at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Beverly, who are your friends in the legislature? Who's helping you push this?
Senator Burdick and Senator Thompson were the two that co-chaired the bill for us. We've been talking with our locally elected officials just to make sure they better understand it. So I'm not going to say that they're certainly friends of ours as a food bank, but they're actually just being respectful and listening to us. And so we have many, many elected officials across the state who have signed on to the bill, many of them outside of our area, so I'm not familiar with their names. But I know that we have many people, we have many, many farmers around the state have signed on to this also. So we have all the food banks in the state paying attention and trying to talk to their local farmers. And it seems like everyone is in agreement that this does produce more healthy food. It puts more food on the table. And we're just waiting to see what's going to happen right now.
Can it get a little difficult to bring people along to explain to them the importance of this? I mean, if they're not hungry and if they're not involved in agriculture, do they have a little difficulty understanding? I mean, for one thing, crop donation tax credit itself has a lot of syllables and it can be hard to pronounce.
There are a lot of people hungry, and people who aren't hungry sometimes are a little mystified by this. Like, how could people be so hungry in such a healthy agricultural valley? And it is a little mind-boggling. And for many people, hunger is just invisible. If someone's not standing on a street corner with a sign, you may not really understand what is going on behind the scenes. But throughout our entire state, there are people standing in lines in churches and community centers, queuing in the lines with their baskets, waiting to go through a food pantry. And so I think the food banks are doing a good job of trying to communicate that to our state, that ever since the recession hit, probably a year into the recession, our numbers really did start to climb, and then they plateaued at a very high number. So even though the economy may look like it's getting better for a lot of people, there's still a huge number of people who have not seen any kind of change yet. And they're still struggling on a monthly basis just to make ends meet. And so anything we can do to help put some healthy food on their table, keep their kids well and in school, able to learn, is what we're trying to do right now just to get through these really tough times.
There were some cutbacks already in quote-unquote food stamps, Oregon Trail and Oregon CalFresh for our California listeners. Have you noticed some effects on your food bank since that change?
You know, there's been a cut in November. November 1st, then we saw a big cut. And I can't honestly say we've seen a big impact yet, only because we've had two major holidays that just took place in November and December, and we always see a huge spike in the need for our food during the holidays. So it's hard for us to discern what part of that was the farm bill, the cut to the food stamps. And so January, February will be easier for us to detect some changes. And now that the farm bill has been reauthorized and there's going to be more food cuts coming to people's benefits, we've noticed over time, we've been doing this for 30-some years, that when there's big changes like in food SNAP benefits, people don't rush to our door right away. It takes a while for them to absorb it. They ask their friends and family. They have food on their shelves in their pantry. And it takes a little while for the impact to really hit the food banks. So we are anticipating that probably in the next year we're going to see our numbers continue to climb.
So when you said they plateaued, has there been any reduction in demand for services at the food bank?
I'd say nothing noticeable. And as I mentioned earlier, the only thing that's really noticeable is that the situation of hunger is changing from an emergency to a chronic situation, which means it's just a steady, ongoing need in the community. So we're adapting and trying to implement programs to get food out on a weekly basis now that is perishable in nature but healthy, and just try to get it out to affordable housing providers and PTA meetings and mobile pantries on the weekend and church parking lots and school parking lots so that people have the food they need.
But the adapting sounds like it happens not just at food banks, but really in society at large. It sounds like we're just sort of taking for granted that there is a higher level of hunger now, and we're just going to be dealing with this for a long time.
It's very true. It's exactly what's happening right now. We had, I think what they said, we had 46 million Americans on food stamps, and it's because that their wages are not high enough, the opportunities are not great enough, and that they're just struggling. As everything else goes up in cost, it's the one thing I think people think they can do without. If I just don't buy as much food, I can keep the roof over my head and my lights on. And of course, we all need to eat. So that's what keeps getting pushed is the food budget, and it keeps pushing people our way.
So when we come back to the specifics of the Oregon Crop Donation Tax Credit, you do have some help. You do have a committee vote sending it out. So, but this is not a long session. I mean, does that create some more tension and greater possibilities that this will not emerge from this legislative session?
I think in any session, there's a possibility that it won't. But luckily for us, we were able to get the attention we needed. We're working with the Oregon Food Bank, who's done a great job of really organizing this and getting the support lined up early and very visible. So it's just a wait-and-see situation right this minute.
So, Beverly Hughes, if the crop donation tax credit is restored by the legislature in this session, can it be applied to, will it be retroactive to last tax year, for example, or is it only a forward-looking thing? It'll apply for the 2014 tax year.
It's a forward-looking thing. So when farmers get ready to plant in the spring, they will know that next year when they harvest their and bring their crop in, like next fall, that this opportunity would be available to them.
All right. Well, all the more important then, it sounds like, to get it passed in the session, because you're just on the cusp of planting time, it sounds like.
Yes. I mean, I actually, to tell you the truth, the mechanics of it, I'm not as clear about as the intent of it and how we're working with the legislature right now. So I assume that this would go into effect in July, so it would be, if they planted this year, they'd be able to use it when their taxes next year.
All right. So even if they're not planning with an eye toward getting the tax credit, the fact is that they could still potentially use it in the fiscal year starting July 1 if this passes the legislature.
That is my understanding, yes.
All right. Definitely. Beverly Hughes is the executive director at Food for Lane County. Any idea when there's a vote coming on this?
We're hoping for this week to learn more.
All right. We'll keep our ears on the process in the legislature. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. I want to remind our listeners once again, there will be a little strangeness probably at the top of the next hour on the Jefferson Exchange and potentially on the other services of Jefferson Public Radio as well, because we had a power hit that basically blew out temporarily our ability to broadcast the local news segment. And so our local news was not present at 8 o'clock, or therefore the recorded version not present in our program here at 9 o'clock on the Jefferson Exchange. But if you do hear a long silence, rest assured, we will be back. This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening.